Hi, listening friends. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's October 15th, 2013. We have special guest Roger hung on the line with us. He's the author of a new book entitled Chasing God, Finding Faith. This is a powerful book, and after today's testimony, I'm sure you'll want to buy copies. They're available at davidccook.com. That's the publisher, davidccook.com. And I'm sure Roger will reference his ministry work in the San Francisco area. And the link is sfcityimpact.com. sfcityimpact.com. Roger Wan, thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends. And we just talked briefly, both Pastor Jason and I, my co-host today for the special edition of Mark and Friends, are just getting to know you and meet you. But as you shared about your ministry work in the city, and you literally haven't traveled much or traveled far away from this ministry work for so many years, I thought about Jesus and the impact, the incredible impact he had in just a very little area in the land we know as the Holy Land of Israel. But Jesus didn't travel very far, and that was the first thing I started thinking as you were sharing some of your story and your passion for going to these hundreds of apartments throughout your area preaching the good news, that you really feel called to stay right in that area, I believe. Is that true?
Yes, it is. Very much so.
Well, Roger, can you tell us a little bit about the ministry that you're a part of, San Francisco City Impact?
Well, first of all, thank you, Mark and Jason, for having me on the Great News Radio, just to be able to talk to your listeners. Yeah, I came to the city of San Francisco at age 15. I was born and raised in Taipei, Taiwan, and my dad was working for China Airlines. So when we came here, you know, we settled down right here in the city, in the better part of the city, right across from the Golden Gate Park in the avenues. So anyway, I came from a very abusive childhood background, but the abuse continues even as we came to the States. At age 17, I left my home and just kind of out there by myself, and sometimes slept in front of some homes and hotel, locker room, just raised myself from that point forward. Fast forward to age 27, by this time, coming out of the restaurant work environment to the hotel, and I'm now a auditor at this time in my age for both Holiday Inn and also Marriott. So anyway, in between the two jobs, I went home for a short break, and it was at that moment I turned the TV on and came to know the Lord, age 27, through a TV evangelist. So I went and began to search for God, basically just pray, fasting, praying, and then reading the Word, you know, and eventually ended up in a brand-new hotel that just opened up right there in the Tenderloin. Tenderloin is a district, one of the 12 districts, but it's the inner city of San Francisco. And it has 37,000 residents live in 586 buildings, with about 6,000 to 8,000 homeless folks that come through the area because of the two very large feeding facilities. Anyway, during this time, as I applied for a job as auditor for this brand new five-star hotel, and one day, I think within a week, one day I got off work. And I had parked my car in the Tenderloin, and as I approached my car, I noticed I had a flat tire, so I called for the tow truck. In the meantime, I was in the car for about 20, 30 minutes, and I saw the young boy was standing next to the high-rise building, and there was a group of older kids coming up, and they started harassing him, pushing him, and kind of, you know, rough him up. I did not get involved. I turned away, and when the tow truck driver came and he got me out of that situation, as I was driving away from that spot to my house, which is about 20 minutes ride, God spoke to me. He said, what would you do if that was your son? And I said, I would have jumped out of my car to rescue him. And I felt God said this. He said, well, for me, they're all the same. So now when I got home, I was very disturbed. My wife knew. I just wept and cried, and I told her the situation. We prayed, and then the following day, we made 50 sandwiches, and then I brought them to the Tenderloin, and that was 29 years ago.
Wow. That's amazing. Can you talk about, did you ever see that boy again, or did you ever see, get a chance to even be able to interact with that situation again?
I did not. When I went back, of course, you know, my sandwiches and the following few weeks, I was just ministering to the homeless. And then I think a few weeks later after that, I didn't know where to go. Just keep on handing them out, praying with the homeless, you know, just a very different kind of a contact. I was not in that kind of environment ever. But then I saw a bunch of little kids running into a high-rise building on Eddy Street, and I wasn't shocked. I didn't know there were kids like that. So I followed them into the high-rise building, and they just kind of disappear into, you know, the hallways or whatever. So I just went to the first door on the second floor. I knocked on the door. A little girl opened the door, and I just invited myself in, and because I didn't think there was anybody in there, and just trying to get to the parents because she wasn't saying much. As I walked in, it was just one little studio with about 14 or 15 of them sitting on the floor. It was a Cambodian family. And that's when I realized there's a subculture living in this area. People are actually hiding inside the buildings because of the violence, the drugs, and all the stuff that goes on. So that's when I started a door-to-door visitation, praying, and that's how the whole thing started.
Well, Roger, I'm just thinking, I'm looking at Jason, and we both got a little teary-eyed just thinking about how maybe times we've, I won't say forsaken God, but maybe he put an impression on our heart and we didn't follow through on it, or we saw a situation and we didn't step out like you in this example where you saw this one child being maybe battered or bullied for sure and didn't respond. And yet God has softened and tenderized and worked through you for many years. But I almost want to have you bring us back to some of your childhood experience. You mentioned abuse, and you don't have to be real specific, but I know a lot of people that are maybe tuned in or listening, they have some background baggage or hurt or pain or maybe some unresolved anger, or because of some situations that happened in their life, they've remained far from God because they don't believe God cares or loves them, because why would he have allowed certain things to happen? And so I would hope that maybe you could take us through a little of that journey of finding healing. And what did that TV evangelist say, or how did you become convinced that God cared and that he loved you? Like, take us through some of that story, too.
Yeah, in this book that I've written, Chasing God, when we put this together about a year ago, I wanted this book to be about restoration. And ever since I could remember as a little kid, we have always get beat up quite a bit. And it wasn't just, you know, a little spanking here and there. It was pretty severe and gruesome. And I get to also get to watch how my dad would beat up the older two. I'm number three. And he was always a little more heavier on them, choking them, you know, punch them, lock them up in the room, just things like that. So ever since I was a kid until the age 27, I had a lot of resentment, hated my parents very much. So became a loner. Hmm. Didn't want to talk to anybody. And because it just tormented me. Not only just physical abuse, but there was also verbal abuse, which really tore us apart, that we were never going to be anything. This is America. We're never going to be anything at all, because Americans are, you know, they're way more intelligent, you know, just things like mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. So for so many years, that's all we heard. So we didn't think we were anything. It was definitely infuriating. RT complex within me. And then we were put into a public school system, and that was very violent as well. Mm. Right here in San Francisco. So I didn't want to be with any group, so I became a loner, and working in the restaurant, in the hotel, as an auditor, you know, just away from the crowd. So that particular day when the TV evangelist, I'm not sure, I don't remember the message, but he made an altar call at the end of that show. That's when I came to know the Lord, knowing how God loves us so much and that there was hope and purpose. And that's why I wept so hard just in a few minutes. And I said to myself, my goodness, I've been looking for this for 27 years of my life. And that's why when God put that child on my heart to go back, we didn't want to have a church. We didn't want to have a rescue mission or all these other program stuff. I just want to knock on the door and tell these people about Jesus. And that's why we did that, and that's the first 10 to 12 years.
And I know your book is called Chasing God, but in a sense, God was chasing you, wasn't he? Kind of wooing you to himself. Were there other Christians in your life? Because it seemed like when you came to Christ, you were almost ready the next day to begin serving or helping or sharing that good news about Jesus. So who did God bring around you to help teach you or model to you Christian character or what it looks like to follow Jesus?
My wife had come to know the Lord a year before through the Sin TV evangelist. And she was definitely watching TV on some of the great preachers and teachers of the 80s. I was more, the initial reaction was very passionate. I, you know, I wanted to follow God, but I was very busy with a hotel jobs. Income auditor for one and night auditor for the other. So I did not have a whole lot of time, but she would feed me, you know, information from the TV evangelist on the prayer, fasting, spiritual warfare. Those were the big topics in the 80s. Then I started reading the Bible, and then I realized I needed a place to just go away and pray. So I just looked up somewhere past, you know, under the Northern California, there were some little places by the coast. They offer little cabins. So I would go there on the weekends to pray and fast. And I read the Bible several times over from cover to cover. So no one helped me through, but it was mostly my wife and just prayer, fasting, and then reading the Word. That was all.
Well, as I often like to do, Jason always knows this, I have a twinkle in my eye, and you reference your bride, your French bride, Maite. Tell us a little about her.
She came from southern France. Her dad was a gray shepherd, so he was hired to go to Idaho to tend sheep. But then after staying there for a few years, they got snowed in one day, and that's when they made up their mind to come to San Francisco. So what happened is I was going to the store to get a beverage, and when I got out of the car, and there was another car behind me, and she was sitting in the passenger side. Her brother was going in there to get some beverage as well. And so I just kind of walked over because it seemed like she was smiling at me. So I walked over and I talked to her for just a little bit, and then I asked her if I can have her phone number, and she gave it to me. And I called her 2 hours later.
Oh, he's fast mover.
Yes, and then I went to her home 3 hours later. And she was in shock. She opened the door. She said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm here to take you out." And she said, "I don't know you." And I said, "Yes, you do. You gave me your phone number." Anyway, she got in my car, and we just drove away, and that was the very first day.
And how much after that point did you get married?
3 years later.
3 years later. And you mentioned that she began following Jesus about a year before you. Did you start seeing, like, changes? So I'm assuming at this point you've been married some time. She's influenced by this television evangelist. She comes to Christ. Maybe did she start going to church, or did you see a difference in her? Was that another catalyst or something that God used to have you start thinking about spiritual things? Because didn't you grow up Buddhist?
Yes, I was always in the temple with my parents, my grandparents, but I was never anywhere near the monks and the temple. I just didn't like the whole environment. So when my wife came to know the Lord a year before me, she definitely was changed in very drastically, because she was a devout Catholic. And so she just started talking about Jesus, but more than anything, she was just passionate. She was transformed. She was always praying, reading, and everything was changed. And I was actually getting jealous because I didn't know why she was so in love with this, you know, God or this figure. And so that was kind of what was going on within me. because I just didn't understand about the relationship.
Well, I know there's we haven't really even gotten to your book, Chasing God, and all the ministry, the unique ministry work God is calling you to that you're a part of. I know people can find out more at sfcityimpact.com, SF, and that stands for San Francisco, so sfcityimpact.com, and your book, Chasing God, they can pick up copies of that at davidccook.com, davidccook.com.
And in case you're just tuning in, we have Roger Juan, who serves as the pastor of San Francisco Worship Center, and he's the founder of City Impact Ministries, and he's also the author of a new book called Chasing God, which tells his story and the stories of how God was chasing after Roger and moving him and to move his heart to minister in this place called the Tenderloin District in San Francisco. You know, Roger, I want to tell you that I think God has a great sense of humor, and as you've been sharing your story so far, I love that he tenderized your heart to move you to a place called the Tenderloin District. It just, for me, that just makes me laugh inside. But can you walk us through some of this ministry? Because it's really an interesting way that you guys are doing ministry in these 586 different apartment buildings in this 1 square mile of San Francisco.
Yes, definitely. You know, we started out giving out sandwiches to the homeless, and then when I found these kids running inside these buildings, so we spent a good part of our one-third of our time in the beginning of the work just inside the buildings praying, and we have probably over 25 different nationalities, and Southeast Asian. We have Chinese from China and Hong Kong, and you have Eastern European and just a whole bunch of them like that. Of course, you have the poor, you have the homeless, and you have people in different lifestyles. So by that time, I was only saved for about a year and a half, but I was very driven. I really wanted to know God. I said, God, just help me to give you whatever you want me to do. I'm going to do it. So shortly after going into the buildings, praying with these kids, the families, giving out sandwiches to the homeless, my wife and I, we just decided just to take a chance in a way, because we really believe in the Bible. So we quit all three of our jobs. Hmm. We just walked into the Tenderloin, and whenever we needed something, we would just pray and fast, and God would just provide whatever it is for us. And then we rent a little storefront and started a kids center, after school program, youth program. Then we opened up a thrift store in the corner of Eddie and Jones. This is we had a thrift store for the community folks. And then eventually, because of the homeless population is so many of them walking around. So that's when we opened up the Rescue Mission Dining Room. And then a few years after that, we realized that the youth service and the kids program really don't do anything for the kids. We only see them 2-3 hours a week. That's when we prayed and began to put together a elementary school right here. We started with about 6 kids. Now we have 130. Then we started a food bank. And we just wanted to minister to the whole community. And then recently we started to adopt a building where we're going to every building. We pray with them. We find out their needs. We minister to them. But, most of the time in the Tenderloin, in this inner city environment, people are very isolated. So we spend a good portion of our time listening to them, because it's in the listening we're able to find out what it is that they are crying out for. So a lot of listening, and then we can minister to them. We don't do things because of a program. We do it because we just feel like these people could be our grandparents, our parents, our kids, our daughters and sons. And, so there's a lot of a heart-to-heart connection. So that's what we do day in, day out right here in this area.
I like how you gave that example, that God brought that conviction into your heart, that you looked at it. If that was your son, wouldn't you have gotten out of the car? And in a sense, because all people are made in God's image, we should have that attitude that, you know, everyone is, in fact, our brothers and our sisters that we should be reaching out to. Or as you mentioned, our grandparents or our, you know, our children, grandchildren, you know, the whole gamut. These are all of God's people, all worthy of respect and of care and of love. And it seems like through this book, Chasing God, you're trying to convey that and encourage us or have it be a catalyst for us to step out and trust God. And I know there's so much more to the story, and I want to ask you some of the specific ways you've seen God make these supernatural provisions to equip you to do all this ministry work in an impoverished area. 586 apartment buildings, 37,000 people in this one square mile, and God has said, Roger, you and your wife and your ministry team is going to be my agent there to build churches into each of these apartment buildings. And I think in preparation for this program, Jason sent me a little link from Francis Chan about his support and his involvement. So can you stay with us and we'll continue this conversation on tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends?
Yes, for sure.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. The book is called Chasing God. You can purchase copies at the website davidccook.com, davidccook.com. And you can learn more about Roger and his ministry at sfcityimpact.com, sfcityimpact.com. Well, thank you, Pastor Jason, for co-hosting this with me.
Thank you.
And thank you, Roger, for being available for this edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark and Jason, for having me at the Great News Radio.
Thank you for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Your love compels me, Lord, to see as you would see, to serve as you would serve, to be what you would be. Your